Channel 2 Right, and the beginning of the visit with Julia and Wade. Julia's first visit here and first reporting at the kitchen table. This Saturday, the Monday it is, Monday the 15th of July, 74. Channel 2 Right, and the beginning of the visit at lunch with Julia and Wade this Monday, the 15th of July, 74. Julia's first visit here.
We have more trouble with his name. He's come up with about four. He was talking about his good friend in Sweden calls him Mike or something like that, and somebody else calls him another name, and he says, well, I hadn't been Mike in 3 years or something.
Anyway, what's his name? He said that Cookie reminded him of his father. That's how it hit it off so well. That's when he came back from being here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said Cookie reminded him of his father.
I mean, Cookie's pretty young, cause he's 40, so.
Yeah.
He's 40.
Well, Ron had, he's a little bit too speculative in his mind to do that good reporting, I think, but he does. He's got a hell of a facility about what he's done.
Yes. He did a whole lot better out yonder than he did in here. When he got in here, he started talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he got pretty.
Opened up the book.
Yeah,
yeah, that ruins a person.
You can rattle that. I just say she's a party girl. She loves to rattle stuff.
You bet hard. I'll put arsenic in the next thing you use.
I've got arsenic. I keep some on hand. Still where I put it. I've had arsenic out here since we had watermelons in the back pasture. Of all things, a few of the coons get a start in on them, light in on them. Fresh, they quit, and they go around and put out poison for the poor coon. Oh, they let them have a few. Well, they get these eggs, and they put a hole in there and squirt a little arsenic in there. Oh, I forget how they do it. And then they put the eggs on, the coons eat the eggs. If the stray dogs don't get to them first. And it's supposed to take effect. And all the poison that old Rob Wood did out there, I used to walk around there with him to see what the effect was, and we just found one dead coon. Oh, he must have poisoned a couple of dozen of eggs with that arsenic.
One coon, huh?
That was a great time. I wish I had a little of that left. Had a great time. I'd go over there and talk to Mitchell Boyd, Mr. Boyd. He's the one that got burned.
Mm-hmm. That's Sugar Man's daddy.
Sugar Man's daddy. Sugar Man's Mitchell, yep. Too. Mitchell Jr., isn't he?
I've never known. I don't know his name.
Well, I'm not sure.
All I know is Sugar Man.
Well,
I know how he got that name.
Huh?
I said, I know how he got the name. But and it
he's
stuck with it. No, bootlegging.
Oh, yeah.
Moonshiner.
Oh, I see. Canned sugar.
Yep. He's a sugar man.
You got to have sugar in order to moonshine. Oh. That's how they catch up with it.
Oh, they trace the sugar.
I can't hear you.
They trace the sugar.
Hey, who sells it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you buy a little extra, they'll notice.
You can buy 100 pounds a week of sugar. You got awful sweet tea or something.
Yeah. You'd have to go around one place to another and get a couple of pounds. That'd get you, wouldn't it?
That's funny. you know, the new thing is like the kids are all doing the dope dealing business, and I saw two long-haired kids in the Publix grocery store with a shopping cart that had nothing but these little baggies that they, that's what they use it for, selling dope. And I was thinking, is it time to change? Now, I'm not kidding you, they had a whole basket full of baggage, you know. And I don't know my word.
Same with
what kind of insanity are these guys going through, you know, they're advertising their business. That didn't bother them in the least. They walked right on through there and bought $10 worth of baggies.
That watermelon thing, not to interrupt you.
That was all.
First, I guess, about one of the first studies I made. It wasn't a formal study, but it turned out that way. It was to talk to them all and sort of egg them on for their remedies for the coons getting melons. And Mr. Boyd, I'd tell him what they were doing, and he would just give that sort of critical laugh. That's all they know about it. And you see, they'd all had experience. Old Mickle from the Cross Creek thing, he was out here, don't you remember?
Yeah.
I forget his name. He had his.
Mickens
was out there. He lives over there, over in the bushy community, out past Allen. He does now. He was the boss of the hands out there, and he knew how to do it. But Rob did it.
I'm going to let him know. I'm going to call him just a little while.
Ron.
Yeah.
We'll
let you know in just a minute.
Big
we're going to have lunch in just a minute. I'll call you.
Okay.
I told him that. there were three authorities, and then I'd get some at the store and all. They're all different. Mr. Boyd said that take your dogs over there. And you didn't have to run your coons with the dogs, but just take the dogs all around there where the coons could pick up the scent. And they'd just keep that scent fresh, and that'd keep them away. But Rob never, well, he may not have had a dog.
I reckon so. A little Nicky around there.
He got a bath yesterday.
Oh, good.
And he was miserable all day because of it.
You what?
Nicky, the old dog hangs out in the street.
Yeah.
Well, he's living with me now.
George Franklin's
dog. He decided to move in
yeah.
with me. And had to give him a bath finally. I had to.
Cool.
I did it in the sunshine. But he was most disturbed. We tried that.
Oh, he was rank. Just rank.
How'd you get the notion of that, of making pizzas?
How'd I get the notion? Well, I needed a job. And Sandra lives upstairs. Who owns the place. And Deborah lives upstairs.
Oh.
She was tired of it. So she said, take over from me. So
oh,
I went
in. He's the one who owns that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Part owner. His sister owns the rest of it, and his friend.
Yeah.
They're all from Chicago.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They're all real, real tight business people.
Sure.
They don't pay very well at all.
Yeah. Does it pay prompt?
Yeah. But not well. But I can make a pizza with a blindfold on now.
Can you?
at the dough and you weigh it out so much.
Weigh it out?
Yeah. Depending on what size pizza you want. And then you let it rise. And then you put it in the pan with some oil. And you press it out. And then with your hands, like you're making bread or something. And you fix it up against the side of the pan. And then you take mozzarella cheese and you lay it down around the bottom. And cover the bottom. And then, saying if you want a pizza with everything on it, you take some sausage. And you make little sausage patties and you put that all over the bottom of it. And then you put sauce on it. And then you take slices of pepperoni and you put them where the sausage wasn't. And then you'd throw some mushrooms on it. Not too many because they're the most expensive of all. And then you put spices, oregano, and salt and pepper. And then you'd put little pieces of green peppers and olives, wherever you could find room for them. And then you put onions. And then you'd sprinkle some Parmesan cheese in the middle and put it in the oven for about 20 minutes.
Now, is that raw dough you put on there?
Mm-hmm.
And you put all that stuff on there?
Mm-hmm.
And the dough is still cooked?
Yeah.
Is the sausage cooked?
No, not when you put it on. It will.
How long does it take?
This is about 20. That ranges from 20 minutes to a half hour.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know they're made individually. I thought they were.
They're all fresh made, more or less.
More or less?
Well, some of the ingredients aren't too fresh.
Mushrooms.
The mushrooms are canned, and the worst of all is the sausage. Bad meat.
Yeah.
One of those pizzas lasts you a whole week if you eat it.
Yeah, you can't eat much of them. They're about this
done
big.
Done with eating for a week.
Done. They're different than most pizzas. I gave Sanders a birthday card.
Oh, you did?
His birthday was June 1st. I was in the store the other day looking for a card, and I found another one. And it said on the front, I've got something to tell you that I've never told anyone before. And he opened it up and it said, I like you even better than pizza. So I bought that for Santa for his birthday. Unfortunately, we missed his birthday, so I gave it to him anyway.
That's good enough.
But he didn't react very strongly to it.
He's a little sensitive to pizzas right now.
Yeah, true.
Oh, is he?
Of course, you realize that.
Oh, goodness.
I don't like pizza much anymore.
Yeah, he's having a time with the business world. He figured he's raised some sort of monster. He has. He was really funny. Yesterday, he was talking to my next door neighbor, and he says, talk about people ordering pizzas. He says, you know, you'd think people would come in there and you take your order book and they'd say, I want a medium-sized pizza and I'd like cheese and mushrooms and green peppers on it. And then he said, what's your name? He says, John. You write that down and say, okay. He says, well, that does happen, but he went into the people, the various kinds of people who come in and order pizzas. The drunk, you know, and the rowdy, the dope freaks, and all these weird people coming in there, just giving you such a, come in, well, what do you want? Well, I don't know, anything ought to have. It takes 2 hours for him to make a decision about what to order. He was really neat about telling that story. He had them all categorized, these various people that gave him a hard time about ordering pizzas.
You run into that?
Mm-hmm. Said I like talking to
them. Oh, you said something about the customers down there that you heard them talk about something and you didn't know they talked about that anymore.
That was Mr. Donut. Yeah. That was, because I worked in the morning, so all these men came in every day practically and they'd have their morning coffee. And I'd hear them talking in the, people from Sunland, the prison, that's the name of it, right? They'd come in and Well, it just surprised me. I hear these two guards from Sunland talking about how they beat the hell out of that Negro last night because he thought he had rights. I believe is the way they put it. And, you know. And I'd hear things like that and eat a donut or something.
And you thought that was
I just have vain hopes that it's on the decline anyway.
Yeah. Sunland Training Center. That's for these. You know what it's for, don't you? Sunland Training Center.
Not exactly. Just
well, it's for people that got good sense, especially young people that are born not all with us. Some of them.
I don't know. I think it is.
Cookie's wife lives, works out there. Tell her. She talks about the patients of hers. She loves them all. Mm. Some of them have to strap down and keep them in bed. Well, anyhow. And then you quit.
Yeah.
How long did you last?
About a month and a half.
That's pretty good. Isn't that pretty good, Wade?
I have working donuts, I reckon so.
What? I mean, a pizza place.
Oh, pizza place.
Oh, no, the pizza place, I worked there longer. I had to quit there because I wasn't 18 yet and they got their liquor license. And if I was found working there, I'd get in trouble. They'd get in trouble. So. Much to their dismay, they told me I had to leave. They said I could come back when I'm 18.
So it wasn't your pizza boss that you got fed up with?
It was the donut boss. Well, it started when we were talking one day, and I asked him what he was doing managing a donut shop, and he said, well, he's getting practice. I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to design political systems. And I said, then I asked him what his ideal political system would be. And he said, pure capitalism down the line. And that started it all. And then also we had a fight one day about how he wouldn't hire a male to do the job I was doing. And I really couldn't understand why. And he said people like nice, light, fluffy donuts served by light, fluffy people. And I quote, I'm going to send that into Ms. Magazine or something.
Didn't it make you feel good all over to hear that?
We had a running battle for about a week and a half why he wouldn't hire a male. And I kept sending these guys would come in applying for the job, and I kept sending them back there to talk to him. I wouldn't tell them that they couldn't have the job. And then he kept coming out and saying, would you stop sending them back to talk to him? And he finally consented that he should try it, though. We had a male there. Of course, the only male that he tried was stoned all the time that he was working there. So he went around back and kept smoking marijuana, and so he wasn't much good at all.
Oh, really?
So I lost my case.
It's hard to count on help nowadays.
I'm going to say it was the most interesting work day there. But it was largely because of that man that I quit. Also, I wasn't getting paid very much. Because it was based on my getting tips, and people kept forgetting the tips.
Yeah, they don't have players.
Fed. 15 cents by donut.
Yeah, they don't want to leave another 15.
They have to pay you minimum wage, don't they?
Mm-mm.
They don't.
Hunting food service.
Not if you have the possibility of tips.
Oh, really?
I started out at $1.50 an hour. with the assurances that I'd make $5 in tips a day. The first 3 days I worked there, I made $5 or $6, and I made $2 a day, roughly. From then on, a drastic decline set in.
Same people there?
Most every day.
See.
Did Walt tip?
Nope. Mr. Adler came in. Walt Adler. He used to come in. He ordered a dozen day-old home-cut donuts. Both sides. Day-old yet. Could have used them for the catfish bait. But he didn't even smile, much less tip.
Anyway. He's got a lot on his mind.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if I should have quit, because I've done... That's the second job of that nature that I didn't last more than 2 months on. So I guess I'm kind of spoiling myself.
Yeah, your batting average is going down.
Yeah.
Two in a row. Well, you had so much, then you had to start traveling. You would travel for months or more, didn't you?
I traveled from December to 1st of March. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't pull a lot of money. But I got it all from the university for free anyway. So I didn't worry about it too much.
I mean, when you went off on your vacation?
Well, I went down to Mexico for a month.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean just now?
Yeah.
Well, no, I just went down to visit the family.
Where the family?
Crazy as ever.
Where is it?
My mother and my grandparents and an aunt and uncle and cousins in Miami.
Do
and
I say where? Does it make it sound like who?
Who? No.
Uh-huh.
In my answer, in Miami. I got
in
to that
Miami?
Part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was back in January that you went to Mexico.
Yeah, I got confused. which money from which job he meant that I blew.
Oh, I see.
I didn't spend much money in Miami.
Yeah, you didn't spend much in Mexico?
Yeah, I spent everything I had in Mexico. Except enough to get up here with and get started with.
How'd you get down there?
How'd I get down there?
Yeah.
We flew. My brother and my cousin and I flew from Miami to an island off of the Yucatan named Cozumel. Well, we didn't have anything better to do at the time.
World.
Yeah. Get out of Miami, mostly. Get away from the family.
Yeah.
I don't know why. A whim.
Well, you just want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And you, what you do is just close your eyes and figure out a place.
More or less, yeah. Figured we'd go where the sun was. And then he did the picking and choosing. And
go
I
where
said,
the sun
okay.
Was.
Yeah. Of course, there's plenty of sun in Miami, but it's the wrong kind of sun. But my brother's up visiting me now. He stayed in Mexico all this time. Till just now. I could only take about a month of it. I wanted to shower after a month.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty dirty down there. Dirty. Not very often. When they do, they're ice cold.
Yeah. Well.
Sounds like your place, guy. Nice cold showers.
That's right. Suits him better than anything.
Oh, yeah.
I was healthy as long as I took a regular cold shower. After that, I got neuritis.
I'm glad you got some explanation.
I got so it would affect my back. I'd take a shower and my back would get so stiff I couldn't move. So I had to start using warm water. And that takes the rheumatism out, whatever it is. I got away with it a good long while. We used to go up to Smokies, you know, in the wintertime, break the ice and sit in those mountain streams.
I've seen him many a time when it was sitting on zero, sitting in those mountain streams.
That's right. You get a little blue to start with.
Invigorating.
And like old John, kind of, he's that colored man that had peanuts up here. And he's a great talker. He's lyric. He has a repertoire. Well, John Turner said he held up. He lasted until he got 60 years old. He says they had a tire went down. He just picked up that side of the trunk and took the tire off. That's not exactly what they did, but he picked up that side of the trunk. I said, well, I nailed you getting hold of that trunk. John is pulled up. Oh no, he says you're back up to it. And even so, it's a pretty nice little load, you see. And he looked it. And that's about right. So he lasted till he was 6 years old. He done things. I know he's done things. And his travels, you see, just around in the county, he never had to go too far. He didn't have to. And he could just relate those travels. It's almost like old Ishmael, you see, on his way up to that whaling boat. Stopped at the end there to get some chowder and all. And he went in that little old chapel where the Father Mapple was telling things. Mm-hmm. Climbing up in the pulpit seat with that rope ladder. And that's, he did that. He did that. He comes as close to Ishmael as anything I've ever encountered. Just around here in the county. And it's a curious thing, the 30s seem to be the high time. Now, why, I don't know, you see, in the 30s they all broke. And they were also, I think, on the road. Not much doing. On the road, looking for work, something like that, see? And they can live on nothing much for days at a time. And, you see, it's this full employment that disrupts everything. Ever full employment, see, with wages and hours. Once you get that, you get no more travel, no more Ishmael, no more incidents.
You can go along with that. John Turner's about cookie size. It's a little bent, black as it can be.
Don't take that full employment business to heart now.
I'm going to quit on
you.
Go to Mexico again.
No, I've done my traveling for a long time. I'm not restless anymore. Even Miami was too far.
Well, what else has she done? What has she done with you?
Well, she managed to
kick her cousin out the other day.
I hear about that.
You wanna? Oh.
Mimi's sister, Christine, she's the same age as my brother, which is 27, and for about a year and a half now, she's been a devotee of the guru, the young guru, and Mimi called up last week and said that she heard from Christine, and she had been in Europe, but she had called from Boston and was up there for that festival. They had a big guru festival up there over the 4th. At Amherst, and that after that she was going to come down here. So that's all I heard, that Christine was coming. And one morning I'm sleeping, and I'm a real deep sleeper. I go off forever. But finally I was roused up by the doorbell, and it was 3:00 in the morning. And I went out in the hall and leaned over. There's a window over the stairs looking down to the door. And I hung my head out the window, and there was someone laying in the hammock that we have strung out there, swinging in the hammock. And so I yelled out, you know, I figured it must have been Christine, but I'm yelling out the window, "Hello, you know, come on, I'll open the door." And they're just, all the cats are meowing and stuff, and they're imitating the cats. That person in the hammock is doing cat calls, and they wouldn't answer me. So I said, "Well, forget it," and I went back to bed. And as soon as I get back in bed again, the phone rings, and it was Christine. She had gone over to Snuckin Wade's house, called me up, said, "Hi, it's Christine. Would you open the door, please?" And I said, "Okay." So I go down there again, and the person in the hammock turned out to be this man, boy, that Christine was traveling with.
You name it.
Yeah. So they come in. Last time I saw her was before I left California. And she spent about 10 days with me and the two girls I shared an apartment with. And we got along fairly well. The two girls I shared the apartment with didn't much care for her. She ate an awful lot. Didn't do any dishes or anything like that. But we listened, and we talked a lot about the guru and the whole thing. And we left in pretty good spirits. Well, this time she comes sauntering in the house, and this guy following her with their little satchels, and they come upstairs and hardly even mumble hello or anything, and walking in the house and looking all over and reading the books and reading letters I had started, and quite curious about everything. And so we made some tea, and we're sitting there. And she didn't tell me one thing, you know, about how she was or what Boston was like or anything. Just either didn't talk, or finally she mumbled that, introduced me to the gentleman there, if you can call him such, as her dancing teacher. I left it at that. And anyway, all the time they were there, which was less than 24 hours, they either were silent or meditating. They meditate on sitting on the floor with a blanket over their heads to keep, literally, to keep the light out or whatever. And or else they were humming, eating, or doing satsang, which is what they call their preaching, their guru thing. And
preaching.
Yeah, that's their word for preaching. And they started it that night. I started off saying how I was different, how I should realize that I was different than a cat. I don't remember all of it, but, or I choose not to anyway, but it's stuff you heard a lot of before anyway. And
that you were different from.
Yeah, that's what they wanted to make me realize, that I was different than a cat. That there was something unique about the fact that I was a human being and not a cat. And I said, oh, I'm glad you...
Was that in your favor?
Just set the record straight.
Yeah. Well, and that they seemed to be talking about a lot of things that I'd come to get a slight inkling about a while ago, so I didn't want to hear it again, and I finally said goodnight and went to bed. And then the next day, Wade was out on a photography job. That day you came, they were here for a phone call. And I'm doing work and running Madia to her girlfriend's house and stuff like that. And Christine comes over with my clothes on and wants to borrow Wade's shower. And the guy comes following her. And they proceeded to eat what I had in my refrigerator. And later I found out proceeded to eat what Wade had in his refrigerator. So I didn't see them that much that morning, but I said, well, I'm going into town later this afternoon if you want to ride in, if you want to go to the ashram, which is the gathering place of the convent or whatever, for the Guru people. They said, okay, so we get ready and we go into town. Oh, before that, I go back to my house, and Christine says, well, I need a new basket. She's traveling around the world with a knapsack or a basket. Because I need a new basket. Can I have one of these? I had one thing. I said, well, I'm using that one. She goes, but there's so many around here. There's so much stuff here, I should be able to have some of it. I said, well, yeah, I know where you can get one for $5. She said, thanks a lot, I don't have any money. So, we're driving into Gainesville, and the man there, he's a German guy. Well, anyway, we're trapped in the car, and so he started up the satsang again. How I just forget about economics and politics and all that stuff is all an illusion, and all I should do, I should meditate more and spread peace throughout the world. And they're going on and on.
You were the congregation.
Right.
Two preachers.
Right, in a 4x4 space. So I had I had an eye doctor's appointment, and I was going there, and I said, where do you want me to take you? I said, well, we'll just stay with you all day. And I said, no, you won't. I said, I got a lot of things to do, and you'll hinder me. I got to do some things quickly. I said, you know, where can I take you? And they said, well, just go where you have to go first, and then we'll get out. So I'm still driving, and they kept it up. So I ended up doing something, which I haven't done very often, but I very quietly and calmly explained how they were getting on my nerves, and that I hope they weren't planning on staying too long. And I seldom treated people that way. You know, I could name a lot of people I'd love to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to come visit, but they weren't some of them. And so I parked the car, we got out, and they were very mad. After I said that, we still had another couple blocks to go, and they just hummed. And then Christine was very mad, and she, as we were parting, she yelled that I better control this hate that's eating me up inside, and else I'm going to end up like my mother, is how she put it. So, I felt weird doing that, but I didn't feel wrong in doing it, so I wasn't all that ruffled by it. But I did my stuff, and I go back home. Get back home about 6 that evening, and they're sitting in Wade's house. He wasn't home yet, but they're sitting in there. I didn't stand up feeling well enough on that count, but I just went back to my own house. And then Christine comes over, and I was watching the news and fiddling around the house. And she comes over and starts packing her stuff back up in her bag. And she goes, oh, shoot, they were talking about Watergate on the news. She goes, they still talking about that thing. She says, they are doing it last time I saw the news. I said, when was that? She goes, oh, when you were in Santa Barbara 6 months ago. She says, they're so crazy. They're just still talking about that. But so she packed up her stuff, and I said, you're leaving right now? I said, you know, I made my point clear, but you don't have to leave this minute. It's getting dark. And she said, well, no, we'll be leaving in the morning. I said, well, where are you going now? She goes, well, we want to go over and see Wade, wait for him to come home. Then she goes, can I have a couple potatoes? So I gave her potatoes, and I gave her some carrots, and I gave her an old burlap bag that I found for her satchel. And the guy never came near me again. So she went back on the way. And then when I went over there to do some more work, you'd come home. And we'd talk to him for, it must have been an hour and a half or more. I stayed out of it. I just listened through the open door and went, shook my head, yes.
Was he the congregation?
Yeah, no, they were.
They caught me at the wrong time. I was feeling awful good.
They ended up having to listen for once. What she kept spacing out when things got too heavy, she'd pick up the kaleidoscope and look through the kaleidoscope. Like Wade said, we should have stuck together. I should have done more than kick him out of my house, but they were planning on staying at his house then. But it ended up, we took him out to the Guru Farm, out by where Jeff lives. They've got the pottery thing out there past, it's way down country road past the sign that says Divine. So we took him out there late at night, and last we saw is they lit a candle through a window, so we knew that somebody was there and let him in. And that's the last we heard of him.
Thursday night. Yeah, they caught me at absolutely the wrong time. I'd had a fine, glorious day. I did a good job and had good company. Everybody's appreciating everybody, and they walked in and started laying that Guru rap on me, and I gave them a song for sure.
You really did.
I explained the wherewithal
really
of life to them.
Started back in BC. Worked your way up.
Yeah, it was fun. Sharpening claws and things like that. It doesn't do any good, but it's sort of, it's fun to play with it.
They were the most presumptuous and disrespectful people I've come across in a long time.
Well, they pardoned themselves after I got through with them. You didn't even have to ask them.
Oh, really?
No, they found an unwelcome place.
Well, I'll tell you, you still don't have a mechanical typewriter. You're using that old electric thing.
I'm using Mimi's electric, yeah.
Yeah, well, you need to have that other one. If I had, I called about one in town, and I haven't been in town since then to see one. I'll see if I can pick up one of those portable, just punch. Or you can take it with you.
Okay.
Now, all that stuff you told now, you see, you ought to have that down in more detail.
Mm-hmm.
Make it more circumstantial. Now, let me tell you, if you could do this, you can start right over and do the same thing, and you'd do it fuller, and you'd have you'd smooth it out.
That's been reported, Julie.
Yes.
I have to admit it is. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference what you talk about. It's just so you can get it straight.
Subject matter.
It's a process
of doing. Yeah. Yeah, some subjects work out better than others, but you have to take a chance on that.
Well, that one hit a nerve. That subject hit a nerve.
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean turn out in that sense. I mean, some, you know... Well, anyhow, but you can start right over again, you see. And actually, you didn't warm up till you got to the Guru. The others, you were sort of held back. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, next time you see, you warmed up now. You're ready to go. And that's the way it is on a typewriter. You knock it off, you see, and you get the rough edges. And then you go back over it, and you feel more at home with it. And what you do, it's not the voice, it's a pleasure, you see, to look at it. Because you see things you didn't see before. And if you report on it now, you see, all over again, you still see things you didn't see.
Ron, over here.
I mean, that's what we found out here. Just and it's not a matter of memory. It's just things that come to you. You have to do it, you know, within a limit. While you see before, you do other things and push it out. That's what happened to me. I it saved me. I can't get down. Like we were saying, these little incidents with cookies over here. I simply can't do it. I go to typewriter and that's in my mind, and I get off on something else, and the first thing you know, a day or two passes, and it's all that. It's not exactly left. The other things have pushed it out.
Mm-hmm. So you get to the typewriter while it's still kind of fresh.
Yeah, I'd be better when it's a little fresh.
Go ahead.
I have a lot of... Just a little lot of that.
Am I eating by myself?
That's okay. We don't mind.
God, we're going to... We've got to keep this full employment situation going over there.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to move along. Got the
I was thinking the donut shop. That was
that full employment. That'll wear you down quick.
No, you've been working in the dark room.
I'm staying out of the dark room.
I've already got feeling about your balking on that score.
Well, I want to learn
I thought old mule come up.
I'm more interested in land.
What?
Land.
Where are you going one thing or another?
Yeah. Well, I've already done that too many times, too fast. I'm going to stay with one thing for a while.
Yeah. Well, a couple of hours is a long time. I don't shift fast. I think that's the big difference. You shift fast, easily. That's a good thing. I have to get all cranked up to get into anything.
I shift too fast. Or have been, anyway.
No. The only thing I'd say about it is, you see, is to look at it sort of on the typewriter ought to show fresh. Before you get I think those old mechanical typewriters get the spirit of the thing better. I don't know. You can't get into it.
I that electric, the one I've got. It's got that big whirr-whirr to it.
I don't like that.
And it just sits there and goes, rah. And it sort of it breaks up your mind a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to make your own demands on the typewriter. You don't want the typewriter yelling at you to do something.
Yeah.
And that's what that does. It just sits there, and if you don't type for a minute, you say, well, my God, the typewriter's there yelling at you, going, rah, Now, the Underwood just sits there peaceful. Doesn't talk back at all.
That's me, man.
No, I mean to my other mechanical typewriter.
Oh, yeah. Well.
You have another?
Yeah, I have two more typewriters.
You have another mechanical one?
Two.
Is
well, they
got.
Yeah. I have an Olivetti.
You got one.
Got one paid $15 for. Types up storm. Matter of fact, I don't think it jumps as much as my father's old typewriter. That one you gotta have the right touch, you skip about three spaces.
Yeah, mine is. I don't mind. If I watch, I can make a copy of this Z-Box.
You can bang on one of those like you're typing on mine. You can bang on it, you know, and it's just...
If you can't, I'm out of luck.
Uh-huh.
I've got a Dandy Royal Portable. Mm-hmm.
Maybe just start a mill, or at least another place that I'm trying to supply them. And I went in 2 weeks ago to get the thing cleaned, and they wanted more for cleaning it than I paid for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they want $35 or at minimum to clean the bloody typewriter.
Well, we'll pull that out.
Yep.
Well, we enjoyed the visit.
Okay. Put that down, Julie.
I will.
I haven't seen that. Put a carbon there and give me a couple.
Okay. See, when I sat down a couple times before, but it was so much hunt and peck that I takes me an hour to get out of the hour gap or something. Yeah. But now I'm getting more, so I know where the keys are. See, my mother was secretary most of my life, and so I always swore up and down I'd never get near a typewriter.
Well, you can't.
But now I can't for her.
Well, you don't have your choice.
you don't have to be a secretary just because you're tight.
I know, I realize that now. Just explaining the background to my version.
You know, I close it up. All right. Enjoy the visit.
Tell Randy, we didn't miss him at all.
Channel 2 right around 900, and the end of Saturday, the 15th of July, 75, and the end of this first little visit and reporting of Julia with Wade. This Monday, the 15th of July, 74. Channel 2, right, around 900, and the end of this first little reporting by Julia with Wade at lunch this Saturday, Monday, the 15th of July, 74.